The first night you sleep on a MyPillow, you'll understand why they've sold over 5 million. Get a MyPillow, you'll love it. 50% off right now. Go to MyPillow.com, enter the promo code Chicago at checkout.
Where is she been answering?
And who am I? That's not a secret I'll never tell. You know you love me. XOXO. Gossip Girl.
Hashtag Dan Humphries. This is Craig Collins. You've Binge Challenged is the name of the podcast. And my guest is Elif Giris. Am I saying your last name right? Giris?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Correct.
Wonderful. Elif, you asked me to watch Gossip Girl, which I'm not laughing at. I actually had a really great time watching this show. But why did you challenge me to this?
It's a quality show.
Okay.
The characters on...
That might be debated, but go ahead. Okay. Keep going. It's a quality show.
The characters are smart characters. They're teenagers,
yes.
But they...
Fancy teenagers.
Fancy teenagers.
Almost all of them are really fancy. They have a lot of money, a lot of power.
Right.
That kind of stuff, yeah.
They have a lot of conflict in their lives.
The Upper East Side.
Upper East Side, exactly. hedge funds.
Hedge fund? No, they probably have hedge funds, I'm assuming.
You
they have all kinds of stuff.
Take that part out.
No, it's fine. No, we're editing nothing, Elif. This is all happens. The full podcast. This is like we're live. We're going to mimic live. So they're all really rich, fancy kids. And then there's a gossip girl.
Right. There's a gossip girl who the teenagers can send tips to about their classmates or about people around the town that they know through their families who are also rich, most likely.
And everybody just loves to know the drama. Perez Hilton is in town tomorrow, and I asked him to do this podcast today because he is Gossip Girl. He's like real life Gossip Girl, but he said no.
He said no.
Quite a few people said no to talking about the Gossip Girl. I don't know if the people that are famous for the show are so proud of it. And it's interesting because this show is really fun. And I think one thing that a lot of people would describe it as is sort of like a primetime soap opera. It's definitely primetime soapy-ish.
Yeah.
And that Gossip Girl character, spoiler alert, as I think I opened the show by spoiling stuff. But anyone who wants to save the ending of Gossip Girl, do not listen from this point on. I am dumbfounded by the way that this show ended its entire run. Shocked. I don't know. I was watching the first season, I'll tell you this, Elif, and my plan was to only watch the first season of the show. And then someone told me, I was talking to someone about this being my podcast for this week, and they're like, wait, you don't know how it ends? You're not going to know how it ends? You can't. You have to discuss how it ends. So I jumped and I watched the last episode of Netflix, and then I just jumped around the series. Then once I knew that, I just went all over the place. And that's really hard to do with a soap opera show because a lot of the relationships didn't make any sense. Blair and Dan get it on. They get super romantic. Things get crazy there.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Okay. Okay, so I read about that too. A lot of hardcore Gossip Girl fans. Do you guys have a name? Do we call Gossip Girl fans something specific? I feel like you should have a name.
Fan gossipers?
Gossipers. Yeah, gossipites. A lot of people didn't like the Dan Blair relationship and how it developed. Because in the first season, if anyone watches the first season like I did, they sort of hate each other for a little while and they begrudgingly become kind of friendly. And then by the end of the third or fourth season, they're doing it.
Yeah, I think it's a desperate attempt at a dynamic character relationship.
They ran out of people to date each other because Serena dates pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody dates Chuck Bass, who I sort of like. Like Chuck, I sort of secretly enjoy a lot. His voice changes dramatically throughout the show, too. Did you notice that? Toward the end of the show, he becomes sort of a Batman.
Yeah, in the beginning, I remember watching from the end to the beginning and noticing that towards the end, I forgot what his original voice sounded like.
You got to go back to the first season because he sounds, I mean, now granted, they might have been younger people when they were doing it because like Taylor Momsen's only 14 when the show starts.
Exactly.
She's actually literally playing her age. But the Chuck Bass character, he's got a regular-ish voice. And then by the end of the third or fourth season, he's Batman. It's super deep, intense. Everything he says, I feel like it's really important because it's so crazy. The way that it's like talking to Orion Samuelson in the hallway. Everything Orion tells you, even if it's just the weather, you're like, wow, that was intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Precisely.
Cool. So that's one of the things I noticed that sort of made me entertained. So let's do it this way. What do you think are the strongest qualities in this show? What are the things that really roped you in, that made you such a big fan and kept you through six seasons when they're doing pretty crazy stuff?
One of the reasons why I started watching it was because I was close to the age of the characters.
Got it.
But I started to kind of, I was developing my own personality, you know, from high school up until now. I'm still developing my personality.
Yeah, sure. You are
23.
Okay.
And so you watch these characters. I watched Blair and the way that she schemed and the ways that she treated her friends.
Yeah.
Friendships yeah. are an important part of the show. Even though she and Serena don't get along exactly well the whole time.
So let's say that Blair's kind of a bitch to Serena in the first season. It seems like that leash is really... Now, granted, okay, Serena did sort of sleep with her boyfriend, but mm-hmm. it seems like that leash is really short and Blair is getting really upset with Serena very quickly and like blowing up the friendship again and again and again. She throws her out on Thanksgiving. A lot of this crazy stuff happens in the first season.
Very often.
Yeah. Yeah, Blair like is trying to find reasons to hate Serena. And I guess... For any show like this, there's other shows that certainly play on this aspect of like the elite in high school, people that are this upper echelon kind of human that a blogger would even be interested in talking about your life. Like literally a celebrity, a semi-celebrity within a high school. And other shows do this well too. It's interesting to follow the way that they develop their characters on a show like this, the way that they try to tell you how they're nuanced, how they're evolving, because that has to be such a surreal experience. If this were legitimate, like if there's just kids in school who have a gossip person following them around all the time and then they're like their whole life is out in front of everyone. It has to be a surreal kind of crazy way to experience living.
Yeah, especially if maybe that's another reason I like the show is mm-hmm. because it was the complete opposite of my high school.
Right.
High school life. I didn't have people who I wasn't.
Followed you around.
I didn't have people who followed me around, and I didn't
or
have...
Or anyone. I mean, I doubt anyone in your high school, or 97.6% of high schools in America, have people that anyone cares about to this extent.
Well, especially to this extent, because
yeah.
At the time of the show, it was like early to mid-2000s,
mm-hmm.
and... technology wasn't as advanced as it even is now. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You notice in the first season that they're holding...
They have flip phones and stuff?
Yeah. Exactly.
Somebody has a Motorola Razr, which I really miss those phones.
I remember that.
Yeah. And it's funny, too, because you do mention that, and this is something I kept thinking during the first season. This show is right around when Facebook became a thing, but social media was not really a thing at all. So that first season, watching everyone kind of connect with these text messages from Gossip Girl... reminded me of what kind of Facebook has become now, like a way for us to all check up on each other and all be kind of in one giant community. The TV show sort of created a social network around this blog before it was even a thing, which
was
really interesting. Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a goal, if that was an idea they had, like the Gossip Girl is just this person and then she's going to follow these people around and then this is everyone really cares about this. And that, okay. So I'm so tempted at every point during this podcast to talk to you about how it ends because that has so many ramifications on everything you watch. Have you gone back and watched the series after knowing what they said happened at the end? After they told you what the finale, after you saw the finale and know who Gossip Girl is, because that's the big reveal, again, spoiler alert, have you watched episodes early on in the show or at any time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've gone back.
Okay. So I'm getting amped. I'm getting amped, Elif. I'm getting amped. Okay. So... Something that really pulls me out of a TV show, and I promised myself going into this podcast and future podcasts, I wouldn't talk about the shows I've done in previous weeks because I'm I like some of those shows so much, I talk about them all the time, but I can't, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to fail. Lost is a show I really like, but then it ended so poorly, I look back on it with disdain. I really don't like the show anymore, and like everything I liked about it, I dislike now because the way it ended really, really left me unsatisfied. Had I actually watched six seasons of Gossip Girl and then was told that Dan Humphrey is Gossip Girl and the entire reason he became Gossip Girl is because he's been in love with Serena from day one, makes no sense.
I agree.
It makes no sense. You watch episodes in the beginning, in the middle of this series, Dan is reading on emails like everybody else or checking his phone and going, oh my God, Gossip Girl just said this. You just wrote that. You wrote that a minute ago.
Yeah.
And you're alone in your bedroom. Why are you pretending to read it for the first time? There's an episode at the beginning of the season where Dan and Serena are sort of connecting, but it's not actually fully, I don't think they're fully dating yet. And she... looks for a different date to something because she thinks that he might be cheating on her. She calls him. He answers the phone. A female voice is in the background Serena goes, "Who is that?" And Dan goes, "Oh, that's my sister," who walks into the room with Serena
right
and Blair.
When she's with,
right.
Yeah.
Right when he's mm-hmm. lying to her. So then Serena thinks that this brand new boyfriend might be cheating. So she looks for a guy to date for the night. The way that Dan decides to be her knight in shining armor, her guy to come and, you know, show up at the party and essentially be her date, is by reading on Gossip Girl that she's looking for a date. But he wrote that. He
right.
wrote that. He knew that he was
It doesn't add up.
Yeah.
It doesn't add up.
It's a genius. I'll let you talk. Go ahead. You talk, Ella.
I remember thinking the exact same things as you, uh-huh. especially, I mean, most of us Gossip Girl fans thought that way. And
yeah.
I remember...
so amped.
I know. I'm glad you are.
Go
well,
ahead.
In the end of the series, you look at it and you're like, what the hell just happened?
What the... Right.
Are they lying to me?
Right. Right. Why would they... Yeah.
And someone says in the show, "Oh, Dorota, I thought that was you the whole time."
Yeah, that,
I love that.
In the season finale, in the series finale, there is a joke because I guess this, and again, this actually goes back, sorry, podcast listeners who listen every week, if there's any of you, hopefully there's some, Lost did that sort of too. Like
okay.
they referenced the things that fans might have sort of wanted, or they've done it after the series ended. And I guess that was a big fan theory throughout, is that Dorota would be Gossip Girl.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so at least they threw that to fans. They gave you that little like, yeah, we heard what you said, but no, it's Dan Humphrey, which makes no sense.
Okay. Right. And I don't think it makes sense either. I think it was just them trying to close the show quickly.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So I didn't get to appreciate the full journey because I just did this over the course of a week and I skipped around in the seasons to how upsetting that might have been for me to see the season finale and to see what they do there. It's a genius idea if they had had that going in. If the show from episode one was like, Dan is Gossip Girl, because it's really poetic. What he says in the series finale is, "I'm so in love with Serena that I wanted to write myself into her life, and I created a blog that allowed me to do that, to become one of the Upper East Side people, even though I'm not from the same background, I don't have the same wealth and all the things that these other kids have. I just wanted to be a part of their society." So it's a beautiful, beautiful
part
idea.
Part of their world.
Right. That is genius, that is poetic. I love that, and I like that character. However, he didn't exist for the 6 seasons before that episode to make
right.
that accurate. And if they had gone into the whole show saying, this is what we're going to do, I think a lot of people would like this show. I think this show would have been like one of the best ending shows ever. But it's just they threw the most ridiculous ending they could in there and didn't care about continuity throughout the whole series.
No, they didn't.
How and does that happen?
You think that these writers are so great.
Yeah.
This whole time, they've done a great job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are some points where it's disappointing and characters come out of nowhere.
Right. Carter, her relationships, Basin, like you said.
Relationships.
Oh, Carter Basin comes out of nowhere.
Serena with all those boyfriends mm-hmm. of hers. And
Serena in the 6th season, like, ODs on drugs and almost dies on a train. And
yeah.
then she has a new life and an almost fiancé within a few months.
That is exactly true.
I don't know how that happened so quickly.
There's one point in the last episode. Oh, yeah. They get married.
Serena yeah.
and, I'm sorry for our listeners.
No, it's fine.
But maybe you should write spoiler alert.
I will. Yeah, I'll just say spoiler alert a lot. They flash forward and we get to see their beautiful, lovely marriage.
So it's a beautiful it's a beautiful wedding.
Of course it is.
But it just doesn't make sense. I mean, they've broken up 3 times
yeah.
in the first 2 seasons or 3 seasons.
They literally dated everyone. I don't know if you've ever had a group of friends where everyone dates everyone, but I don't think that's a normal group of friends.
It happened in that 70s show. They were my
friends. It
did. Friends.
Oh, it's okay. The 70s show people were your friends. No, you're right, though. I guess you run out of characters. Friends, the TV show actually called Friends, did
mm-hmm.
sort of at least
did
create...
The same.
They did create relationships between Joey and Rachel. Rachel and pretty much everybody, except Chandler, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Monica and Chandler. I don't know. It's confusing to me. Instead of introducing new characters all the time, which, like you said, they also did, and some of the characters were really confusing, and the relationships were intense really fast... They just seem to think like, okay, this guy now has to date this person. Like, they just have to be in a relationship now because we haven't done that yet. And we'll see what that looks like.
Well, it's kind of like in life. Dating makes things interesting
yes.
and spicy. And so a lot of TV
yes,
shows
it does.
Do that.
Okay.
So,
but then it makes no sense as to how people, like you said at the end, because Blair marries Chuck and Serena marries Dan. And with all the drama that they had, and the fact that Dan for 6 years wrote some terrible stuff about his wife, just awful things. At the end of the 2nd or 3rd season, they graduate,
yeah.
and Gossip Girl writes something to the effect of Serena is irrelevant, like she doesn't matter at all, and that really hurts her feelings. Your husband wrote that. Like, you just go back and look at that. Your now husband wrote that he pretty much hated you and that you don't matter.
Right, and he wrote a whole book. Did you get to...
Yeah, so the inside, the book inside, and then the inside two, which is helping Chance Crawford... why can't I... Chase Crawford's character.
Nate,
thank you. Nate Archibald. Wow, I blanked on his name. Nate's paper, like he releases the second thing in a serialized thing. Yeah, that also didn't really make sense. But I guess that's what makes him more obvious to then be Gossip Girl, because he essentially already wrote a book about all these people, so why not have been blogging the whole time about them? Right?
Precisely. I'm with you on that. I'm completely with you.
Okay, so but you love the show. So,
I do.
So you love the show because of the journey. It's the same as Brandon C. Price and Lost. You don't care that the ending ruined everything for you. You loved the journey the whole time.
Yeah, and the reason why I had you watch the first three seasons, was because those are my favorite three seasons.
Got it.
And
so once the Blair Dan relationship and stuff card starts coming into play, that's when you were less happy.
No, I was always interested in their relationship and its progress.
Their sweet friendship. They had such a nice friendship.
Yeah. But like we've been saying, In the beginning of the show, there's all this effort to make a really good, strong, creative show with smart characters and new schemes. And I really liked Georgina, for instance.
Yeah, Georgina's great.
I liked her.
That's true.
The concept of Georgina. So,
your microphone. I had to burp and I closed both microphones. Go ahead, keep going. You like Georgina?
I really like Georgina because. The drama makes sense when she comes in. And,
that's true. She gets ruined throughout the series, though. Her character just becomes worse and worse and worse as a human and just almost irrelevant to the point where by the sixth season when she's helping Dan shop his book / thing in magazines, she just seems like the worst person ever. And she takes over Gossip Girl for a little while, the Georgina character. She becomes Gossip Girl, and then Dan steals it back from her. I enjoyed the show. I will say I'm being very negative, which is hard for me when I really get disappointed in how something ends. But this is a show that I think people would enjoy, and I think a lot of people would enjoy it. Even people that don't think Gossip Girl is for me, you turn this on, and the characters are very interesting. The acting is very well done. So there are a lot of positives to the show. It's just a shame that it didn't really have a path. At a certain point, they just lost all control of what their path was.
Do you remember a conversation we had last week about Twilight?
Oh, I told you I was going to talk about Twilight during this podcast. And I guess they're vampires, but they're wealthy people, right? In Twilight, the vampire people are like wealthy, fancy high schoolers.
Yes, they are. But
they're like the elite. Again.
Yeah, but then
they're also vampires.
The plot line just goes all over the place.
Yeah, it
does.
It's
like a tree. It just branches out to too many different avenues.
And again, the relationships. I've seen the first Twilight movie. I will admit that here on the podcast right now. I was taken by friends who read the books.
Of course.
I have not read the books.
Surely.
And I did not go to any of the other movies.
Surely not.
Maybe like one more. it's interesting how intense their relationship is in that first movie when you see the characters, they meet each other and they're like literally in love within maybe a day. That does happen a lot in Gossip Girl. There are a lot of relationships that just go straight from A to B. Even Dan and Serena in the first season gets really intense really quickly. And I know in high school maybe people did do that. Maybe we got overzealous in our relationships in high school because we didn't have a lot of them yet.
Right.
But I think as you age, that stops. And in the show, it didn't really seem like that was happening. They just continue to be high schoolers. And by the way, the first season, they make a big deal about what schools they're all going to go to and all these Ivy League schools and educations. Almost no one actually goes to an Ivy League school. I think they go to Columbia, which is Ivy League, but they don't go to the schools they intended to go to. And like Dan just goes to NYU.
Dan goes to NYU. I can't remember why he didn't end up going to Yale, because he gets into Yale, right?
I think it was funding. I don't think he got a full scholarship. I think it becomes like he couldn't afford it. And probably his rich friends want to pay for it, but he doesn't want to do that. He's Dan. He's a lonely boy.
Yes, lonely boy. And not so wealthy boy.
Not so wealthy boy. Yeah. Have you played the game yet where, and people are doing this on the internet, which I sort of found fascinating, where you read the quotes throughout the six seasons that Gossip Girl said on the episodes, and then you have to read them in the Dan Humphrey voice, Like he's typing these things or saying these things.
I haven't, but I will.
It's an amazing game. You should do
it. To me?
Yeah, I will send you all of this. People blog about the most hilarious things that he wrote as Gossip Girl.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. I'd
and then
love
seeing
to.
Dan say that out loud, this brooding writer character saying these very silly Valley Girl type of things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. but Kristen Bell does a great job of being
God.
Valley Girl.
She's the best, and they do a little cameo. She's got a little cameo in there where she's reading a script.
Is it Sophia Bush or
it's Rachel Bilson, isn't it?
Rachel Bilson
from The O.C.
Yeah, I didn't watch The O.C. Is it Bilson or Wilson?
Bill, I think it's B.I. I sort of have a crush on Rachel Bilson.
Okay,
I think it's Rachel Bilson. I like The O.C. too. Are there other shows like Gossip Girl that you got into? Are there other shows that you like? Did you watch The Gilmore Girls?
I didn't watch Gilmore Girls.
Okay,
but
because that
friends.
Show is really good.
Okay, I do. I know you're watching it.
I've seen it. I've seen all
show.
Of it. Yeah.
Gossip Girl and no, all of my TV show favorites were really
different. Okay, go ahead. Give me some of your other favorite shows.
True Blood.
Okay, it's vampires. You like vampires?
I had another one just now on the tip of my tongue.
I've never seen an episode of True Blood, but they're high school students too, right?
No.
Okay, they're not. They're at least in college or something.
That might be Vampire Diaries.
Oh yeah, no, that's the one I was thinking of. Vampire yeah. Diaries. True Blood is on the HBO.
True Blood is on HBO.
So that one sounds more intense.
It is more intense. I'm not going to go there.
No, go there, Elif. That's why every week we do this on the podcast. Go wherever you need to go.
There are parts where some would call it softcore porn.
Okay.
But that's not why we watch it, though. It's
right?
Just,
I mean, Game of Thrones could be softcore porn at times. Whenever.
That's what I've heard. Whenever I talk to a fellow True Blood fan, they always say, oh, softcore porn, right? And I'm
do
like,
do they high-five you
yes.
and call you bro?
No.
Who do you talk to when you have this conversation?
Do they
oh, softcore porn, bro, right?
Like your friend yesterday that you thought was me.
Yes, yeah, I did. I high-fived someone on the street yesterday that I thought was Elif as I was walking up to the station. She was walking the other direction. And I saw the back first, and I was like, high-five! And the person turned around very confused.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
but it was not you.
Back,
I was
right?
I was appreciative that she still high-fived.
No, the thing about that show is, well, it's a horse of another color. It's a long story, but I did want to bring up something about
Please,
Gossip Girl.
Bring up anything.
And the lack of funding that for Dan going to school.
Yeah.
How about the juxtaposition between that and his beautiful loft that everybody makes fun of on the Upper East Side?
It is a really beautiful loft. It is incredible. Well, and this criticism comes up all the time. I think Seinfeld, although he was a successful comedian,
Friends,
they all deal with that, where you look at the places they have and then somehow they're struggling.
Yeah, but you learn in the end that that it's fixed rent or what's that?
There's like a, yeah, it's a fixed rate for the rent and they'd had it for a long time. That is true in New York. That does happen.
Yeah, it was Monica and Ross's grandmother's apartment.
My headphones fell off. Why didn't we talk about Friends? Are you a super serious Friends fan?
Yeah, I've been watching it since I was like six.
Oh my God, we missed an opportunity here. Friends would not, no offense, Gossip Girl, we are still talking about you kind of, but Friends is just the best. Let's just, screw it. This is Gossip Girl Friends podcast. Let's talk about Friends for a little bit because I love that show. The first thing that I really like about Friends now is that it's on TV late at night, but it's not actually serialized. There's two episodes that air in a row, but they're in different seasons.
Yeah.
So it tests my friendness by having me see like a second season episode and remembering what's going on, and then later see a fourth season episode or a fifth season. It's really interesting, and I enjoy the test of trying to figure out where they are when
you
I catch
have,
those shows.
You do have to force yourself to remember what was happening
right,
in
at
that
the time.
Era.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so were they on a break?
Where? When?
Were they on a break?
That's a really good question. I've thought about it so many times, Craig.
I am thrilled that, you know what, people, this is 23 minutes in. Skip to this part. I'm going to write this in the podcast, too. If you want just Friends stuff, skip to this. We're now doing a Friends podcast,
okay.
Which I'm, yeah, this is amazing. So you said they were not on a break.
I would have to say
they
we're on a break.
Okay.
But
it's not okay to sleep with someone on a break.
Well, here's the but. No pun intended.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
I think that he, he rebounded and obviously
he did a little bit.
He rebounded and she could have been a little bit more forgiving, although I would probably view him as a different person too, just like
As a cheater. I mean, I don't know how you can't, if you were in a relationship with someone and you were struggling in that relationship, which definitely is true. There's a couple episodes leading up to that moment where they're definitely still feeling it out. And that Mark guy is in the picture, the bastard that is Mark. And I know from a guy's perspective what that feels like if you're in a relationship and you're not fully sure if it's going in the right direction and then another guy enters the picture. It makes you very confused and, you know, it might make you a little self-conscious. So all that happens and then she says that we need time apart and he's at a club. If anyone who hasn't seen Friends, which why not, just go watch Friends. Ross is at a club and then he, you know, some stuff happens and he sleeps with someone. So yeah, that you're a cheater. I don't know how you wouldn't be a cheater, but at the same time, there were so many different reasons leading up to that that sort of caused that one lapse moment. And it was a one-off that if you were ever going to forgive a cheater, Ross might be the ideal cheater to forgive.
Absolutely.
I would think. Yeah. Just because
he's a nice guy.
And he was immediately done with the relationship. It wasn't like it continued. There was no, although I guess his relationship with Rachel didn't continue either. He didn't date the girl, right? The girl that he cheated with. She's just a character in and out gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so that, go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say. Great.
No, I mean, it's just,
oh yeah, I remember. Sorry. It was one day after they went on this break.
Mm-hmm.
So it is kind of sociopathic, don't you think?
To sleep with someone that quickly?
Yeah, immediately. What do you think from a guy's perspective?
Well, okay. So I don't think it just has to be from a guy's perspective. Although maybe a little bit more of the sexual stuff is, guys are more susceptible to whatever, I guess. I think that if you really cared about the relationship you were in and your heart was really broken, and Ross doesn't display all that. That's not the character we're being shown, really. He doesn't seem to be completely devastated. He doesn't seem to have completely given up. But if in a day after someone broke up with you, you completely, you know, were heartbroken and tried to forget about the relationship, I do see someone kind of very quickly filling that void. And even if it's just for a night or something, finding someone else. And, you know, the girl is very into him, which is never a good defense. Men out there, that is never a good defense.
No.
But the girl is very flirtatious, very interested. And if he's all heartbroken on the inside, then maybe he, you know, some stuff happens. As it did.
To fill the void.
Yeah, I think that because obviously that wasn't going to be a real relationship. I don't think the show was setting her up to be like friend number 7. She was definitely going to be an in and out character.
Good point.
Right. I mean, Emily is more interesting to me as a Ross. Ross dated a lot of interesting people on the show.
There was Emily. There was Julie.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there's his wife.
Remember from Phoebe's song?
There's his wife. What's his wife's name again? His first wife? His wife's name? You can't ask that question.
Was it Carol?
Carol. Yeah, so Carol, who's a lesbian. That's how the show kind of kicks off, which is cool. That's great. That's interesting. But Emily is an interesting character to me. She's a foreigner. Mm-hmm. Foreigners are interesting to me. I married a foreigner. So, and then he says the wrong name on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even cheating. But you can't get over that. No one could ever.
It's devastating.
Yeah. How could you? Because he actually didn't. He wasn't in a relationship with Rachel at a point during that little period. He was completely in love and marrying Emily. He just said the wrong name.
Yeah.
I know it's your wedding and I know it's an easy moment, but that could happen in the real world. Someone somewhere could have had another long-term relationship before they get married and just spit out the wrong name.
But that's so, I would imagine that's so difficult for the bride-to-be because it's like, I know he's been in this long-term relationship. And they're
still friends.
Crazy in love. They're still friends.
That's the worst part.
They still have so much in common.
Yeah.
And they practically live together because they live so close to each other.
And they hang out every day.
And her best friend is his sister.
Right.
So. Yeah.
That is confusing.
A lot of connections from the past creep up on them. And then that's what gets him at that wedding.
Yeah. So he just could have said the right name. Just stuttered a little bit more. Raise them away.
Remily. Remily.
Nickname time. Nickname time, Emily. I'm calling you Remily.
Remily.
That one, it was always a funny way for them to blow up that relationship to me because it was an interesting idea to just make him say the wrong name at the wedding and that be the reason that she can't get past. Although she does forgive him, right? She forgives him and then they still break up.
She forgives him. And
her
then,
family won't. Her family is done with Ross, but yeah. she forgives him.
And then she no longer allows him to
see her.
See Rachel.
Right. Which is not going to work on a six-person TV show where these people have been in every scene together all the time.
Yeah.
It was doomed to fail. What did you think of Joey having feelings for Rachel? Was that another Blair and
Dan situation? Yes.
Okay. Because they live together. Joey's the womanizing, attractive guy who just, you know, and he's sort of innocent in his womanizing. He is a very naive, kind of dumb character, so he's not as bad as someone who's maliciously trying to just sleep with a whole bunch of women.
Manipulative.
Yeah. Yeah, he just is really successful with the ladies. And then he finds out he's in love with Rachel toward the end of the show. Because they're living together, and she's pregnant. She's going to pop a baby out. Ross's child. And they have to deal with that.
Doesn't he have dreams about that?
Yeah, he has dreams. It's crazy. I have energy. Yeah, he has dreams about her. It's he wants to raise the child. She's giving birth. She's in the hospital giving birth when Joey goes into the room first to confess his feelings. And then Ross is outside, and so Joey doesn't or something. And then Ross is back in the picture.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That has to be TV shows. Sometimes I think TV shows just need to trust. I've seen a lot of TV over the last few weeks now.
Yeah.
A lot. Like several days of my life have now been wasted in front of a television, which is wonderful. I think TV shows just need to understand that you don't have to write a crazy thing to get more viewers. Like it's okay if the show slowly has less and less viewers. Like Lost did kind of have that issue, or most shows do. How I Met Your Mother definitely had that issue. The ratings went down as the show progressed, but you're weeding out all the casual fans. You're getting just your loyal fans, and you can't do something crazy to get the casual fans back because the loyal fans are going to be pissed.
Right.
Right. That makes me very mad when shows do that, when Heroes, when any other show just goes, our ratings are starting to sag, we have to write something. Arrested Development. I don't know if that's a show you saw.
I used to watch that show, yes.
By the third season of Arrested Development, although to their credit, this is the funniest way on television I think it's ever been done, they wrote in moments where they're like, tell your friends to watch the show, and they would hold up screen like cards in front of the camera and stuff. It was very funny.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was very funny the way that they sort of begged for an audience. Or Community is another good example of like going on social media and just begging for a larger audience so the show can keep going because it had sort of a cult following, cult success.
I agree.
And those shows, to their credit, did it in like a tongue-in-cheek way as opposed to, you know, other shows that maybe just do the most ridiculous thing they can think of to incite more, to get more viewers and then make your most serious fans upset.
Yeah, and I actually watched a few episodes of Desperate Housewives at one point.
A few sounds like a whole lot. That didn't sound like a few.
Okay, I watched maybe three seasons.
Three seasons of Desperate Housewives?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Only because my sister convinced me to.
Okay. Did you also watch Devious Maids?
No, I did not. I don't know what that is.
It's a show. I've never seen it.
What the heck is that?
It's not a show. I've never seen it. That's
okay.
Not, I don't know what
okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Arrested. Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. Desperate Housewives does that a lot. Did that a lot. Where
it's just like we need ratings.
They would keep. They would keep running people over in the show.
Yeah.
Or you know. A gun would pop out of nowhere. You know, someone would sleep with someone and it would be a big outrage.
So I'm okay with just killing a lot of people on a show. Like if that was really, like if Gossip Girl had done that, if four people got hit by a bus, I would have started watching the show for that dramatic moment because that would have been an interesting way to spice up the show.
Well, wait a minute. What did you think about Bart Bass coming back to life and then...
That was confusing. That
and
was
then Chuck
and then,
killing him.
Well, okay. Yeah, there's that. And then Chuck also just being obsessed with why he faked his own death in the first place. And then I don't know that we ever got closure on that. Do we know why he faked his own death?
I can't remember,
it was
to be
something
honest.
Devious for sure.
Most
but
likely.
That's all we know. We don't know what it is. Chuck is obsessed with that in the last season. And then we don't know anything.
Well, you can kind of see why, right?
Because they're confusing. And he doesn't love his son at all.
No, not
no
never.
Love. Never.
And you notice that in the first season. Never.
How rough is that? Neither of Chuck's parents like him at all.
Right.
They had his a child mom, they just don't like at all.
His mom pops out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
He sees her in the graveyard, right?
Yeah.
And she denies her motherhood to
him. Right. She doesn't even want to pretend that that's her child.
Right.
That's got to be rough, Chuck Bass.
But then he accidentally kills his father, which was actually very satisfying for me. What did you think?
I think that's fine. The guy was terrible, so the guy dying wasn't really bad. I think that the Chuck character tried to be more layered, though, so it's almost like in Friday Night Lights, actually. I'm now referencing all the shows that I've done in the other podcast. In Friday Night Lights, there's a murder. A murder just happens in the second season, and these are football-playing high schoolers, so you really don't see any of them murdering anyone. And the Landry character is this sort of layered, nerdy, kind of like a Dan character, and he has to deal with killing somebody. And there's a few episodes where they show you what it's like to live after you've taken a life, and then it sort of goes away. I feel like the same thing happened with Chuck. Like, he didn't struggle as consistently and as long as I think you should after you murder someone. Like, I don't think you just shake that off.
And then get married.
Yeah, I feel like more days are ruined if you kill someone. Like, maybe years of your life are ruined. And there's constant therapy sessions that probably need to happen if you don't go to prison for, you know, killing people.
And that kind of brings us back to the sociopathic quality, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does. There's an insanely sociopathic quality to all the characters on the show. They seem very disconnected with what real life is, including Dan, including the guy who's supposed to come from the real world.
What did you think about Blair being a supportive friend to Serena?
I like that you're interviewing me now.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Supporting Serena after finding out that she had accidentally killed her friend. Why are you laughing?
Because sentences like that are what make this show amazing and awful in a way. But like a good awful. It doesn't make any sense, of course.
Well, wait. I wasn't done with the
question. Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
And then she outs Serena. Serena's murder. Her accidental murder.
Yeah.
Or what's the phrasing for it in law legal terms?
Like accidental manslaughter? I don't know what it would be.
Manslaughter.
Yeah.
So she outs her to the dean of Yale.
The dean of admissions at Yale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did you think of that?
It's
as a friendship. Wouldn't you think they should part ways by now?
Okay. It's also insane that that's where she chose to provide that information. Like, because you just want to sabotage her going to Yale. I get it. But if you're upset that she killed the person, tell the police. Tell other people who are more interested in information than saying something to, like, Dean of Yale. Like, although she outs her in the first season for being a drug or alcohol addict and being at a rehab clinic when Serena's not actually the one at the clinic. So there was just a constant thing between Blair and Serena that Blair was actually a really crappy friend.
Yeah, but it kind of makes the show keep going. Helps the show keep going.
You like Blair. I forgot about that. You continue to kind of have that defense of Blair in the back of your brain there. You want to What did you think of it then? Did you think that it was okay that Blair is constantly sabotaging the Serena character?
Well, Serena also constantly sabotaged her.
There's sort of a idiot like a sort of like accidental stupidity about the way in which Serena hurts Blair. Like, more often than not, she's not malicious, but Blair is malicious.
Yeah.
Like, it's so unintentional more times than not from Serena, except when she's actually reacting to Blair treating her crappy by then treating Blair crappy. It's almost like in reaction to, I think the Serena character is actually supposed to be a pretty good person for the most part, outside of the murdering stuff.
She's just naive.
Right. She's just very naive, not exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer out of the group, and, you know, makes mistakes.
Yeah.
Right.
And like you said earlier, she's the one who's always going into these new relationships that are almost like high school relationships. She falls for people so quickly.
Yeah.
Even into her 20s when she's in college.
Right, right.
Maybe not in college.
Right, even after. I think like in the last season, she's got to be like 22, 23, pretty much your age, actually. And
yeah,
she gets engaged to a guy within a few months. Like, you know, that she just met when she changed her life. And what was her name? What was her fake name for a little bit? She was like Melina.
I can't remember.
Something. She was somebody else for like two episodes, or maybe just an episode. And then the guy really weathers that well, by the way. The guy that she's going to get engaged to finds out that she's not even the right name. Like, it's not even the right name of the person that you think you're going to marry. And you're like, oh, that's cool. So your name's different.
I remember that.
Yeah. That happens.
Weirdly, he treated her weirdly well after that.
Yeah, after you find out that like she gave you a fake name and it's you're not any of her backstory, all of it's not true. If in the first few months of dating someone they said, oh, by the way, none of what I told you about me is true, I don't think I would have just shaken that off either.
No.
I've quoted Taylor Swift 3 times in this podcast.
You have?
I have. Well, shake it off. That's a Taylor Swift quote.
Oh, my
quote.
Gosh.
Yeah. Okay. So I think the end of this conversation, we really didn't do a lot of justice to our friends chat. That was a very abrupt friends conversation.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I segued it.
That's
on
okay.
Purpose.
No, it's fine. You did a good job. So I guess the end result of this podcast is that you should watch Gossip Girl. I give the information out a lot to not watch the end of a show, and I for sure say that about this show. Do not watch the last episode. Do not just make up your own ending as you go, and it'll be more satisfying.
Okay.
No? Yes?
I accept it.
Okay. You would not tell people to do that, though.
Maybe I would say it's going to be disappointing, but you can watch it.
Okay. Fine.
So you can see Chuck and Blair's son, and yeah. You can see Dan and Serena get married.
Get married.
I have a question for you before we go.
No, please.
Who's the woman with the glasses in that last scene?
I have no idea.
Are Serena's mom and Dan's dad married still?
Again? Well, no, they're not. They break up, and then other stuff happens, and then Chuck's dad is back in the picture, and then he's dead.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't know. That's a really good question. I don't know who the girl in the glasses. I feel like somebody would, though. 312-981-7200. Call me during my regular show. I'll put you on the air with Patty, and we'll just answer this question live on the air.
All right.
Yeah, I don't have any. I've got nothing. I don't know who the girl. Do you have no idea?
No, I completely forgot. It's okay. A woman probably in her 40s.
Mm-hmm. Somebody that they're friends with that's probably in a really serious relationship with one of the main characters in the show.
Could be.
We've only known for a month or two. But Gossip Girl, it is entertaining. Watch that. Watch Friends. Watch that show. That show's great. It's and maybe True Blood, I guess, a little bit.
True Blood? Yeah, True Blood's good. A lot of mysterious characters.
Uh-huh. A lot of vampire murder.
A lot of vampire murder,
okay.
Exactly.
Cool.
And
a little softcore porn.
Yeah.
I guess.
I shouldn't have said that for the first thing, but it's just the first thing that people always say to me.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that happens with Game of Thrones, too. People ask why you watch a show that's so gory, and a lot of people are naked.
Yeah, gore, right. Mm-hmm. People say that,
but it's because the show's amazing. That's why we all watch Game of Thrones. I'm going to do a Game of Thrones podcast at some point, too, and maybe True Blood.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Ella, for joining me. I think I talked a lot more than you. I apologize. I got really excited and jumped in here. But this has been the You've Been Challenged edition for Gossip Girl, Friends, and a few other shows, I think.
Yeah.
Come back next week. I think I'm talking to Patty Vasquez, but I'm not sure. We'll find out.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.